there is something that happened yesterday on Fox News, which I felt was especially deserving of careful examination this morning. This is manipulation of the highest order. This is deception against you. Everybody who was watching that was being deceived, and they were being led down a path to the physical military defeat of our nation. And it could lead to our complete failure as a nation, because it could make us so vulnerable if the pathway advocated by this person, who apparently is a huge supporter of Donald Trump, named Sid Rosenberg. And if you don't know who he is, he's a conservative radio columnist, so not exactly somebody who can give sound military advice. In fact, in this one of these sound bites I'm about to show you, he admits that I'm no Jack Keane, which otherwise might be something to brag about, because you don't want to be a Jack Keane, but he's not even down to that level. He's somewhere below it in his knowledge, and it's going to come out here. But I'm going to show you. Now, you would never know this by just listening to the interaction with the hosts, because they didn't push back on any of these things. They pushed back a wee bit on one issue and then let his answer stand without saying some of the obvious things that you're about to hear. Let's start off here. This is Sid Rosenberg, of course, who's also a very strongly pro-Israeli advocate. He has a conservative radio show in New York. Here's how the first one went down.
It is inevitable that President Trump is going to have to do what he doesn't want to do, which is go in there with this massive all-out attack. There's no other way to stop this. There's no other way to win this war. So, again, he's trying to do the best he can. He's a very nice man. I love President Trump. He doesn't want people to die. He really doesn't. Okay, he's a nice man. But there's no other way to end this. Once you start this, Midnight Hammer was great. Epic Fury was great. Once you start this, there needs to be a finish. And the only finish is complete surrender by the Iranians. I hate to say it, but complete annihilation.
What are you talking about? Listen, let's be crystal clear. The only way you can get to a complete annihilation of a country as big as Western Europe with 90 million people is nuclear weapons. That's the only way. Now, if he is not thinking about nuclear weapons, if he's thinking something different, then he is literally loony. He is literally out of his mind. There is no conventional military path for the sole country of the United States of America, with a few missile support from Israel, to annihilate a country. You can't do it. They have an active force right now of at least a million troops, probably more than that now, when they've probably brought up reserves. But you cannot annihilate a country with just with conventional means, even if you bring in a field army. We don't have an army to bring in of the size that's necessary for that. I've shown you the map many times about how the entire western part of the country is covered over with mountain ranges, not just mountains, not just inhospitable terrain for an attacker, but mountain ranges, plural. They go all the way through. I may actually still have that one handy somewhere if I can just pull. Yeah, this one right here. Look at that. You would have to, first of all, coerce Iraq into allowing us to come in, bring all of our troops in from a long way. But we probably also have to bring them in from the west coast of Saudi Arabia, because we couldn't bring them in through the Persian Gulf like we did last time, because obviously that would just be shooting range for Iran. So you couldn't even get the troops with equipment in there if you wanted to. And if you did, it would be literal suicide to try and take a ground force up through those mountains. Because understand, just some real basic facts, you know, the mountain range is right. So there, you've got mountains that come down on either side, and then you have a valley running down the middle. Well, you have to take your troops down that valley. And that's the only, and once a path or an arrow is chosen on a map, you know, where you're going to come in, once an avenue of approach, it's called, then you're committed to that. Now then all the enemy has to do is just sit there on the heights of these and just shoot like fish in a barrel. You can't maneuver off one way or the other. All you can do is drop a bunch of bombs on the mountains. And we've seen in military history plenty of times, especially in Italy in World War II. You can't just, you know, drop that much ordnance without a ground army. We had a ground army that went up the boot of Italy. Millions of troops, I think, altogether that was used. And plus, you know, unmatched in the sky, way more ordnance than we have right now. I mean, they just had, you know, a world war level industrial capacity that could just drop bombs just nonstop. And even that didn't work. So he's crazy if he says that that's what we're going to go to. If he says to annihilation itself, because if he actually means nuclear weapons, that's insane. You're talking about murdering tens of millions of human beings. That is the worst of any Nazi atrocities that ever occurred. Do you understand what he's advocating? If he's not talking about ground troops and he is talking about nuclear weapons, then he's talking about genocide on a level that Hitler never dreamed about. Just literally slaughtering the population of a country, not even conquering it, which Hitler did, but literally intending to use nuclear weapons to slaughter all the people. Number one, the world is not going to sit by and let that. Russia and China will never just sit by and let the United States obliterate, especially an ally of theirs, both economic and military. They'll never do that. But they also wouldn't let that standard set and go unchallenged. They wouldn't. So that would be suicide if we tried that. And if he's talking about conventional weapons, then he's going to have to be talking about a field army, which would basically take the entirety of the entire active U.S. ground forces, meaning the Army and Marine Corps, and put them into this unwinnable situation. I just told you about that. And if you wonder, well, he probably doesn't mean that. Yeah, it turns out he actually does.
You say the only end is annihilation. Now, what if the winning this war requires boots on the ground? I asked you that last time. That's not very popular with the American people. What is your response to that?
It's not popular with me either. Look, I'm not a parent of an Army person, right, a Marine person. So I'm very sensitive to that, trust me. But look, we have the Army, we have the Marines for a reason. They're not there to shake your hand at the airport, Rachel, okay? They're there for a reason. Last I checked, we don't have a draft in this country. So these courageous men and women know exactly what they're signing up for. This is war. We don't want to see anybody die, but this is war. A war that started 47 years ago that they started. So, yes, I know the moral ground is to say, I don't want our kids to die. I feel the same way. But we got to win. Now, we can win maybe without putting boots on the ground. Maybe we can. I don't know. I'm not Jack Keane. I don't have that type of information. If we can do that, great. Mm-hmm. But if at some point it requires putting some boots on the ground to win this war, that's why they signed up. To fight for this country, to fight for President Trump, and to rid the world of evil animals like the Iranian regime.
Okay, there's so much to unpack there. Instead of starting at the last one, because I would get emotional more than I probably should, we'll start with some of the earlier things. He said, we have to win. And of course, then he does lay straight up ground troops. Yeah, that's what we have to do. Have to do. He keeps using that term over and over. You're going to hear it more. Have to do this. We have to do this. No, we don't have to do anything. The U.S. armed forces are, at least ostensibly on paper, supposed to exist to defend our country. Defend our country. Not plunge into an unwinnable military strike for the benefit, the fantastic, perverted, twisted benefits of the leader of a foreign country, which is what he's advocating for. There's only one country on the planet that has that maniacal desire to obliterate another country, and it is Israel. And that's who he's advocating for. Benjamin Netanyahu is the one that wanted this war in the first place, as we've shown you for many, many months now. This was never in America's interest. It should never have been started, and it has cost us profoundly already in many, many categories of time. So the idea that we have to go in is insane. No, we don't. But then we start getting into the insane ideas, to just the outright lies. He says, we've been at war with them for 47 years, a war, he said, they started. No, we are the ones that started the war. We supported, right at the beginning of their existence, the Iran-Iraq war. For 8 years, we supported the Iraqi as a proxy to try and destroy them. So we started that one. Don't know if you're aware of that. And then, of course, all these decades of maximum pressure from the Trump administration, or all these sanctions for every other administration that's gone through, and then the assassination periodically of some of their scientists and some of their military leaders. And then, of course, comes 2025, when we launch an unprovoked war against Iran under the auspices of diplomatic engagement. Then in 2026, we conduct and launch another war under the auspices of diplomatic engagement. And then after we start the process of the MOU, we change the terms within a week and add something into paragraph 5 on the Strait of Hormuz that was not in there. We just tried to take over control of it. And then that had the predictable result that Iran responded, which they always do. They always respond to 2025 war, the 2026 active portion of this, and during the MOU portion as well. They always respond to what we do. So they didn't start anything. We started every bit of it. So that is just a categorical lie. But that's what they want to, because understand, go back to the purpose of this whole appearance on Fox News is to deceive you. Some are just foolish, and we're going to see one example of that in a minute. This guy is an intentional deceiver because he wants you to believe something that's not true. If he can get you to believe that they are a maniacal country, that they are evil, and that they started this war, and if we don't finish it now, we're never going to have peace. He wants you to believe those things. And if you don't, then you'll never support this war. But if you do, he's calculating, then President Trump will get the political coverage he needs. And I've been showing you, even Laura Ingraham talked this past week about how the people, American people, turned against. She herself posted something, Americans are against war. He's got to reverse that. So here's another person on Fox News working exactly opposite of what Laura Ingraham was doing and trying to say, hey, we need to get back to the war, and we need to go even bigger. But then he said something that just really angered me, as you might can tell, which is one of the reasons I chose to make this video here on a Sunday morning. Because he says, look, I don't want anyone to die. Of course, you could care less if any American dies. Literally could care less. The value in life of an American soldier means this much to that guy. Nothing. In fact, it's just an asset to be used to further his perceived benefit for his home country. That's it. So that's a lie, too. Just be clear on that. But then he says, hey, these guys know what they signed up for. They signed up for war. What was the phrase he used? He said they signed up to rid the world of evil, the world of evil. No, no, Mr. Rosenberg. No one signed up in America to rid the world of evil, especially evil that you define. And it's ironic because the evil that you ascribe to the Iranian side could well be applied to your country and to mine too right now, based on how we're acting. If we're just being honest, we are the ones that launched an unprovoked war twice in the span of 8 months. Now you tell me who's evil, the one on the receiving end of that or the people who started unprovoked wars? Just let that sink in for a second. But listen, to so casually dismiss American soldiers and Marines and say, hey, they signed up for this. They know this is war. This is what they get paid for. He said, as far as I know, there's no draft. Nobody's making them go. There is no draft. But yeah, there is somebody making them go. It's the president of the United States who gives orders and they have to follow or leave. And they do love our country. They did sign up to defend America, not to go after your chosen evil in the world, because you can't live with your neighbors in peace. And so you can't do it with your own military. So you're trying to draft ours to do your dirty work and your bloody work. And I find that so utterly reprehensible that he is sitting there saying on Fox News, of all places, the place that's supposed to be all this patriotic outlet for all this information and caring so much about our troops, allows someone to come in and so demean them and to call them basically just say their lives mean nothing and that they signed up for this. That is disrespectful and reprehensible as I can even imagine. But unfortunately for us, he went even further.
What does victory look like to you? Are you serious? You really want just until they're annihilated and there's a regime change? Is that final for you?
That's it. I mean, look, I want to get the dust. I want to open the strait. All that's important. But if you leave these animals in power, you are destined. Look, what is the definition of insanity? Do the same thing over and over and again, expect different results. If you leave the IRGC in power, we're going to have the same issues in 5 years, in 10 years when the great President Trump, excuse me, is gone. So we have no choice at this point but to go in there. And yes, regime change. I know it's two dirty words. That's part of winning the war ultimately. Yes.
So now the mask is off. No, this is regime change. We just want to destroy the leader so that for Israel, so that they have nobody that can challenge them in the region, or so they perceive that would be the case. Well, that even that isn't true, because they're already shifting one of their sites over to Turkey. So they're already looking for target number two here. So that would just be one, but they want to annihilate, not just, see, they don't just want the IRGC out. They don't just want the Mueller regime, as they often call it. They want to annihilate the country. They want to kill everybody. And then they're going to, I promise you, if they got their way, they would turn their sights on Turkey. They'll never be satisfied. Never. but they won't. They won't succeed because they can't. You know, and he, again, he refers to Iranians as these animals. So if you're an animal, you don't have to worry about negotiating. You don't have to worry about having any empathy. You don't have to worry about thinking that they have a valid position on any topic. Just go and kill them all. But listen, here's what he needs to understand and what everybody else needs to understand, aside from the morality or the immorality of his argument. It's militarily unattainable. It has now been proven categorically that you cannot win with air power alone. Naval and air power, it's not going to get it done. We tried it. It didn't work. Then we tried a naval blockade. That didn't work. Then we kind of had a hybrid where it was a blockade and backed again 13 straight nights. And then even that has come to an end. Apparently there was, I had some information just a moment ago that there was a planned massive attack tonight, which apparently has been called off. I don't know if it's been postponed or canceled, but at least it's apparently not going to happen tonight. And for very good reason. Look, I mean, here, this is just out. I think this is in this morning's media that Vice President Vance and Chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff Kane raised concerns about escalating war in Iran, sources saying, as U.S. pauses consecutive nights of strike, because what a shock. If anybody's been watching our show, this would not be a surprise at all. We're running low on offensive missiles, on defensive missiles, and our inventories are just running low, and the economic issues are starting to hit us hard. And every day that goes by with that Strait of Hormuz closed, and now the Bab al-Mandab closed to Saudi oil, those numbers are going to continue to get worse. And so that's the way it's been going on. So it's militarily unattainable. You just can't get there. And for him to say, hey, if we don't do this, they'll come back and do this again in 5 years and 10 years. They're going to come back and do what in 5 years and 10 years? Because you're implying that they have done something here recently that we'll see more of. We are the ones that started the war. Let's go back to 2015 when the U.S. had an incredible deal, had some flaws in it to be sure, but man, it had some teeth into it to prevent Iran from ever having a nuclear weapon or making it incredibly difficult and unlikely that they ever would. The best deal you could imagine getting. We had it and we got rid of that. And then of course we start this build up here after 10/7, the Israeli side starts blaming Israel for everything. Iran for everything, like all this came from them. You know, everything that the Hamas did, it was an extension of Iran. We have to go after the head of the octopus. You remember all that? And they tried to get Biden to go into war. He helped them. He helped them defend some when the Israelis destroyed an embassy compound of the Iranians in Syria, when they assassinated leaders in their capital city during a presidential inauguration, all those things that are designed to spawn war. The United States helped out in both those cases, but even then Biden said, yeah, we're not going offensive. We're only going to help defend against drones and missiles, and that's it. And it was a lot, but he wouldn't go all the way until President Trump. And then President Trump allowed himself to be talked into doing something that was militarily unattainable, and we proved it. We proved that it was militarily unattainable. And again, we don't have an army to bring in. If we brought the totality of all of our ground forces, it wouldn't be enough, and it would be guaranteeing suicidal attack. And then we would be without an armed force. Imagine if we did what this guy suggested, we would not have an army. We would have a Navy and an Air Force that is defanged because we wouldn't have enough ammunition to even defend ourselves. So if anybody does anything in Europe, if anybody does anything in Asia, we're literally screwed. We have basically demilitarized ourselves if we go through with this. It's already really bad already. And that's why it's a red alert. We should stop immediately on whatever means necessary to preserve the power we have so we can start rebuilding it, because it has been methodically demilitarized already just because of the offensive and defensive missiles. But, you know, people like this, they just aren't going to be they're not going to be dissuaded by the facts. It's purely on a blind hatred and lust and destruction for the Iranians. At the behest of Israel. It is that simple. And if it was just this guy, then you could say, you know what, that's him. Obviously, he's a very affectionate for the Jewish side. It's insane what he's saying, but I mean, you can understand why he's saying some of these things. But it's another thing when it's, you know, like Jack Keane, General Kellogg, Mike Pompeo, or General Wes Clark, is the case yesterday, when he said, look, okay, he's saying, all right, well, ground troops aren't necessary, but somehow in this twisted mind, a guy who used to be a four-star general, a guy who used to be the commander of NATO forces, for God's sake, says this.
It won't happen instantly. If you want instant gratification, it won't happen. But ground troops won't solve that either. You have to develop the targeting base, get the staring reconnaissance overhead, have the immediate response capacity. You're playing whack-a-mole against these people. They know that they're going to lose. That's why they're escalating. If they thought they could sit back and so forth and drag it out, they wouldn't be targeting their neighbors the same way. They'd just be seeking time. And the other thing we can't do is we can't stop and have a pause for a ceasefire that says maybe we'll get negotiations. If they want to talk to us, they can talk to us right now. But if you isolate the country, squeeze the borders, go after the strait, make the blockade 100% around Iran, the IRGC will feel they're losing. And when they start to lose, they will come back to the table. They will want to salvage what they can.
That is just, okay, that is crazy. Let me run back to this map here. He says go around the entire country and blockade the whole thing. So not just here, not just down in the strait, in the lower side there, by blocking anything exiting the Strait of Hormuz. What is he going to do about, look in the top there, at the sea that's up in north of Tehran? Well, how are you going to block that one off? How are you going to block off that entire territory, that entire border with Turkmenistan or with Afghanistan or with Pakistan? And listen, I fought in the Afghanistan war, and I've been on the Pak-Afghan border many, many times. And I can tell you it is incredibly porous. And when we had 140,000 U.S. and NATO troops in Afghanistan during the height of that war, the Obama surge, we had virtually no control at all over things going across that border. How can he not know that? How can he actually advocate? Yeah, go back to this map. How can he say the go over the whole country, put a blockade around the whole thing? He said it. Back the tape up and look. That's exactly what he said. Put a blockade around everything. I mean, you would have to have several million troops on border patrol over those mountainous terrains to stop that indefinitely. And you would have to also move up in the Caspian Sea in the north. And where are you going to get those assets? And of course, he just said there's no boots on the ground. There is no asset. We don't have any assets, air or naval power, to accomplish what he's saying. We can barely even do it now. You've seen, and we've shown you here over the last several weeks, that even this blockade that we have is porous, and stuff is still getting through. Well, it was getting through even during the height of the blockade, and it's getting through now too. We stopped some things, but it's porous. That's with one. I think there's like 40 ships, if I'm not mistaken, maybe not even that many. It would take the totality of the U.S. Navy to have a complete sanitaire border to stop everything, a cordon sanitaire, stop everything. And it's a physical impossibility. It's just outright impossible. You can't stop that kind of a mountainous border. You can't. So what is wrong with these people? What kind of advice are we getting from our senior people? Nobody at CNN was pushing back on this. Nobody at Fox News was pushing back on these obvious absurdities. What is going on? Now, again, I literally just minutes ago got a note from a friend of mine who said that there was a planned, somebody who's got connection with the ground force itself or with the troops that are in the region itself, that there was a big, huge strike planned tonight. But it has been either canceled or postponed. Apparently, it's not going to happen tonight. So there is a chance that sanity is starting to seep in. Maybe that the CNN article was right, and maybe Vice President Vance and the Chairman of Joint Chiefs of Staff are pushing back really hard, and they finally got through to President Trump. I don't know. But you see, he keeps wavering because we keep going back and forth in this over and over. And these 13 straight days of strikes we had accomplished absolutely nothing. It just blew up a bunch of targets on the ground, which I'm sure Iran didn't like any of them getting hit, but they have nothing to do with their ability to endure. Nothing with their ability to control the Strait of Hormuz. All these targets that we've been hitting, they have some diminishing capacity on some aspects of Iran and their ability to control traffic and maritime traffic in the Strait, but also to control anybody coming in or out militarily. But as I've told you, there's like five or six different ways that they can do that. So if you have this, and I'm going to do probably a detailed analysis of this this coming week here and show you, I've identified and analyzed exactly what our strategy is. And there are some elements of it that are successful and that make military sense. So there is. But it's like saying, hey, the Titanic just had this big rip from the iceberg, and there are three compartments that we can shore up. Yeah, but there's five that got struck. So if you can't stop all five, then the ship's still going to go down. That's what we're facing here. This, what we've been doing for 13 days, has had some effect a little bit on some of the areas, but none on really the bigger ones, the ones that matter the most. So what we're doing is active current time failing. And if we do what these guys say, it would be suicide for our country. And the problem is President Trump is emotional. And these pleas have an impact on it. We're going to wait and see how that's going to work out. But it is vital that you know the truth right now before anything else is done. And this, for God's sake, I pray that President Trump takes advantage of this hiatus and this pause, because we've stopped the 13 straight days. There's two straight days we haven't. And that we didn't have this big one here tonight, which could have driven us even further and taken these stockpiles, you know, even further off the table. We'll have to wait and see. But that's the story here on Sunday morning. I just want to make sure you're not one of those who are deceived by both CNN and Fox people, because they're lying to you and they're trying to deceive you, to send you down a path that will probably destroy the empire that we know today. Our global position, you can use whatever term you want to, our global power, military, our global economic power, this could destroy it all at our own hands. That's where we are. Thanks very much, folks. We'll see you next time on the Daniel Davis Deep Dive. You know, I don't try to talk you into buying gold or tell you how to run your stock portfolio, but there is a way you can help us. Subscribe, hit that like button, and share this with somebody you love.